So if you take your Bibles, please, and turn to the book of 1 Samuel. Vicki and I have been watching a series recently here on, I believe it's on Amazon Prime. It's called The House of David. Maybe some of you have seen it. If not, I would recommend it. Obviously, they do take some dramatic license with the production, but the heart of what they're sharing is really, really quite good. And so tonight I want to look at a couple things, and I've entitled this, God Doesn't Think Like We Do. I guess that comes as no surprise, right? And I guess maybe I should go on to say, thank God, God doesn't think like we do. You know, in Isaiah 55, well, we'll go there first, I guess. Isaiah 55. You've heard these verses before, I'm sure. Isaiah 55, in verse 8. I'll give you a moment. Isaiah 55, verse 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down, and the snow from heaven returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void. It shall accomplish that which I please. It shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. But I really wanted to focus in on that. Verse 8 and 9. My thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways. And I think there's so many different incredible records in the Bible that just show God's wisdom, God's ways. We could spend a significant amount of time looking at those. But I wanted to, you can go back to 1 Samuel chapter 13. And of course, this is a great record of Saul and what happened to him and in his disobedience. Sometimes we refer to it as Saul's rationalization, but in verse 13 of chapter 13 of 1 Samuel, it says, and Samuel said to Saul, thou hast done foolishly. You haven't kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded you, for now would the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever. But now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought him a man after his own heart. And the Lord hath commanded him to be captain over his people, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee. So these are words that are being spoken to Saul by Samuel. Samuel is a prophet. And, boy, they had quite a bit of respect and honor back in those days. They had quite a place in society, especially in the Hebrew culture. And even the enemies of Israel knew who Samuel was and other great men. But I wanted to, you know, kind of look at that thing that God sought him a man after his own heart. And in Acts 13:22, it repeats that basically that same concept and thought that God sought after a man after his own heart. Well, he tasks Samuel with the responsibility of finding out who this person is. And if you go over to 1 Samuel chapter 16, this is the record of God talking to Samuel and saying, and the Lord said unto Samuel, how long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and go. I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons. Now, wait, remember, God's thoughts are not our thoughts, right? So Samuel is receiving information from God that were not thoughts that were originated by Samuel. This is God giving direct revelation to a man who was walking with God. Verse 2, and Samuel said, how can I go? If Saul hears it, he'll kill me. And the Lord said, take a heifer with thee and say, I am come to sacrifice to the Lord. and call Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show thee what thou shalt do. And thou shalt anoint unto me him whom I name unto thee. So this was like I'll call it a progressive revelation. God's kind of telling him, hey, bring the heifer with you, and tell him I'm come to sacrifice. But in verse 3, it says, call Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what you shall do, and thou shalt anoint unto me him who I name unto thee. So there's kind of a trust factor going on here. He just didn't reveal how it's all going to happen. He just said, get going. And so they're having this conversation. And Samuel did that when the Lord spake, and he came to Bethlehem. And the elders of the town trembled at his coming and said, comest thou peaceably? And he said, peaceably. I am come to sacrifice unto the Lord. Sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice. And he sanctified Jesse and his sons and called them to the sacrifice. And when it came to pass, when they were come, that he looked on Eliab and said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. And then there's this great verse 7. But the Lord said to Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord sees not as man sees. For man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on what? The heart. The Lord looks on the heart. So I guess there was sort of an expectation that this son, probably the eldest son, Eliab, first one to show up on the scenes. And the expectation is this is the person that Samuel's going to anoint. In verse 8, it says, Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. And he said, no, neither have the Lord chosen this. And then Jesse made Shammah to pass by, and he said, neither has the Lord chosen this. And again, Jesse made 7 of his sons to pass before Samuel. And Samuel said unto Jesse, the Lord has not chosen these. And so maybe in the back of his mind, he's thinking, am I on a mission impossible here? I mean, God told me to go. Now, but he doesn't stop there, because he asks in verse 11, and Samuel said unto Jesse, are here all thy children? And he said, well, there remains yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come. And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and withal of a beautiful countenance, goodly to look at. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. Not as one would normally think that the circumstances would lead one to do. But Samuel was listening. He had his spiritual ears on. He heard what God was telling him. And when David showed up on the scene, guess what? God told Samuel, rise and anoint him, for this is he. Verse 13, then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel wells up and went to Ramah.
Safe.
You know, the book of Psalms is just full of declarations that were made by a man after God's own heart. And so I thought, let's read a few. I don't know about you, but I get so blessed reading Psalms, and especially I want to look at Psalm 119 a little bit tonight, because these are the expressions and the declarations and, let's say, the heart cries of a man who just longed to be in the presence of God. And he was a human being like all of us. He made mistakes. He made errors and judgments, as we all know. That's not the focus. The focus is that his heart before God was just so pure and so beautiful. And so in Psalm 119, let's start in verse 9, just read along here a little bit. Because it's just so beautiful and so refreshing and so energizing and strengthening. Verse 9 says, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against you. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes." The cry of a heart of a man who just kind of like pleading before God, just opening up, teach me. "With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Deal bountifully with thy servant that I may live and keep thy word. Open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of the law. I'm a stranger in this earth. Hide not thy commandments from me. My soul breaks for the longing that it hath unto thy judgments at all times. Thou hast rebuked the proud that are cursed, which do err from thy commandments. Remove from me reproach and contempt, for I have kept thy testimonies. Princes also did sit and speak against me, but thy servant did meditate in thy statutes. Thy testimonies, your words, God, are also my delight and my counselors. And at verse 25, my soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken me, or revive me, refresh me according to your word. I have declared my ways, and you heard me. Again, teach me thy statutes. Make me to understand the way of thy precepts, so I shall talk of thy wondrous works. My soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according to thy word. Remove from me the way of lying, and grant me thy law graciously. I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me. I have stuck unto thy testimonies. Lord, put me not to shame. I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. Verse 33. The cry of hunger from a man who loves God and wants to get to know God and wants to be more in tune with God, in touch with God. He says, teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. Incline my heart unto thy testimonies, and not to covetousness. Turn away my eyes from beholding vanity, and quicken thou me in thy way. Establish thy word unto thy servant, who is devoted to thy fear. Turn away my reproach, which I fear. For thy judgments are good. Behold, I have longed after thy precepts. Quicken me in your righteousness. Verse 41, let thy mercies come also unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation according to thy word. So shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproaches me, for I trust in thy word. And take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I have hoped in thy judgments. So shall I keep thy law continually forever and ever, and I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. I will speak of thy testimonies before kings, and won't be ashamed. And I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved. My hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments, which I have loved, and I will meditate in thy statutes. God knows what he's doing. He knew the heart of David, and he knows your heart. He knows exactly what makes you tick, what turns you on, and what doesn't turn you on. And I think a lot of times our heart's cry can be exactly like this. God, just teach me, help me, show me, guide me, lead me. I just want to walk with you. And I want to be a man after your own heart, Father. We have the greatest example living with Jesus Christ. And now we have the Spirit of God in Christ within us. All those qualities and characteristics. Now it's learning how to appropriate or how to evidence all of those things that we've been so freely given. And so we have to, I feel like for myself anyway, I so identify with some of these words in these verses that just the cry of David's heart, teach me, give me understanding, make me go in the path, incline my heart, turn away my ears, establish your word. And that's our life story too, that God would continue to help us to learn and to grow and to make this word of God living and real, and for us to understand truly who we are and what we've been so freely given. And then again, to be able to just praise and to be so thankful and to have that Spirit of Christ within us that we can actually praise perfectly. I thought of that statement. It's kind of an acronym. It's for the word praise, it's the perfect response in situations everywhere. Is that what it is? Perfect response always in situations everywhere. And that's just so amazing, because that's always the right response. And you will see throughout the Psalms and different writings about David, that's right at the top of his list. Praise. Praise. And man, it's the one thing the enemy really wants to take from us in this day and time, is get us focused on something else so that we just forget about it. We forget about praising. We get so focused on other stuff, right? Well, I want to close in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. Great verse. Always have loved this verse. Do I say that about every verse? I don't know. But 1 Thessalonians 2:13 says, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually works also in you that do one little thing." What? Believe. That these words that are being spoken, even these words that are being spoken tonight, these are the words of God. These are the things that transform us into something different, something better, something that God has in mind. So we allow this word of God just to saturate us. And like David talked about, to meditate upon those things. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. So many things. And yet, by the grace of God, here we are. And honestly, if we did nothing for the rest of our lives, God would love us just as much as he does right this very second. But why not? Why not just be able to live and to give and to, you know, express thanksgiving and to help where we can and just kind of be on this adventure with God? And I can't think of a better and more noble and more honorable quest in life than to just seek after the presence of God. Amen? So God doesn't think like we think. He doesn't think like we do. I don't know, man. We're all over the place many times. But God is just on track all the time. And that's why I'm glad we have his word. It says he magnified his word above all his name, right? Psalm 138:2. We can trust this word. We can trust this word. Father, you're so kind and good. We don't even really know. We don't really have the words to even express how grateful we are, Father, for all you've done on our behalf and all that you continue to do. And should the Lord tarry or we fall asleep, Father, help us to continue to be living epistles. And we may not think like you think, Father, but we want to incorporate thoughts that are given to us from your word and also information that you give to us, Lord. And we thank you that we can have that kind of heart, that kind of perspective, and that kind of hunger. And we thank you in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.